All right, we are learning Masechtas Brachos. We're on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph. I'd say about a third down. The first word in the line is Al. Then it continues Al Hayayin Hanicha. Right, the Hanicha Laman Detani. So this, the Gemara, has been discussing, as we were introduced to it, we know that there's, we say Brachos, obviously. The question is, why do we? We're trying to establish some source from the Torah itself, some sukkim at least, to be able to support why there's an obligation to say a bracha, which therefore would maybe make brachas deraisa. And what we did was we used the pasuk Kodesh Hilul Hashem, which is taken from Sefer Yikra Perek Yud Tes, and that was a drasha that we have to be holy with the praise Hashem. So it must be that pasuk, since it's praising Hashem, is referring to praising Hashem with eating before and after. The problem is, as we established last time, is that the pasuk of Kodesh Hilul Hashem was already used for other drashos, whatever that was. The psukim told us that perhaps it's come to teach us that when it comes to this pasuk, which is referring to Netta Rabbi, just like Meiser Sheni, on the years 1, 2, 4, and 5, the person brings 10% of their produce to Yerushalayim. If it's too heavy, they can redeem it onto money. So the same thing when it comes to Netta Rabbi, that on the fourth year of a tree's life, after the 3 years of Arul, which one is not allowed to derive any benefit from such a tree or its fruits, so on the fourth year you bring it through Yerushalayim, and it has the same kedusha as Meiser Sheni. So the first drasha we already learned was that it also has the same law that you could redeem those fruits onto money and bring them to Yerushalayim. The other drasha was from that Kodesh Hilulam Hashem teaches us that the only thing that requires shira is anything that needs to be redeemed or brought to Yerushalayim is only something which needs there's singing connected to it, which is referring to wine. The Levim would sing when it came to the presenting of the Nisach Hayayin, the wine libations by the Mizbeach, they would be involved in Shira. And therefore, the Kodesh Hilul Hashem is used for those two drushas. Therefore, it's not coming to teach us the drusha of making a bracha before. That's basically what we saw last time. So again, we continue with the words Hanicha. Hanicha L'man D'tani. It's the third word on the line. About a third down. So Hanicha L'man D'tani Netaravai. I can understand if this pasuk and this drashos are referring to netaravai, that's referring to the requirement on all trees, that there's a requirement that when it comes to the growth of all different trees, that there's a requirement on the fourth year that you have to be able to bring it to your shalayim. Elomand etani kerem ravai malikim emar. There are those that say that the requirement is referring to kerem ravai, it's referring to only grapes, only wine, that this idea of it being redeemed and brought to Yerushalayim only applies to it. The Inmar, actually there's a machlokas between these two things. Rav Chiya, Rav Shimon, Brevi. We don't know who says what, but Chad Tani Kerem Ravai, Chad Tani Netta Ravai. One feels that it's something which could apply to all trees, bring the produce to Yerushalayim, the other holds that it's only referring to the Kerem, to the vineyard, which we're referring specifically to grapes.
Is that the other fruit you can eat at home?
Yes.
And the Indian is that you wouldn't have to make a bracha?
Well,
they're trying to really derive here?
Which what we tried to derive from the Pasuk Kodesh Hilul Hashem is that's how we know you have to make a bracha.
Right, but if it doesn't apply, we say it's Kerem and not Netta, then maybe you only have to make a bracha on grapes and maybe the other ones you wouldn't have to.
That's what the Gemara is trying to establish, that maybe, and therefore obviously that is not a good limud, if you can only learn out from one thing, unless maybe somehow you can compare grapes to all other food in some way. So that's what the Gemara is exactly going to do right now. So, Mandatani Kerem Ravai, according to the one who says that it's referring to only grapes, so Hanicha Iol Gzer Shava, you'll be able to... It would be still good if you learn Gzer Shava. The Tanya we learned. The Rabbi Yoimer Nemerkan Lohoisa Lechem Tivuasai. It says regarding gathering up and assembling, taking up all your grains. But Nemelahalon, it says elsewhere, but Tivuas HaKerem. So you see that the word Tivuas is mentioned twice, so therefore it's Gzer Shava, two words which are exactly the same or similar. And therefore one law which applies to it can apply to the other one. Malahalon. Karim Avkan, Karim. That just like over there, it's referring to a grape. Obviously, the Pusik says specifically, Tivuasa Karim. So, too, all the laws that apply to it could also go to the Tivua, to the grain as well. And therefore, we would be able to then derive that they're exactly the same. So, the Gemara says, Ayasilechad Hil Avracha. So he says that what happens is you have one left over to teach us the bracha. Therefore, that would be good. In other words, like this. The whole problem is that the Pasuk Kodesh Elul Hashem, even though it says Hilulim twice, there is a drasha for both of them. And therefore, if we already had two drashas, there's no extra open slot to teach us the requirement of making a bracha. But as if you can learn in Gezeirah Shavah to teach us that all the laws that apply to one apply to the other, then you don't need this pasuk of Kodesh Elul Hashem to refer to the drasha which specifically refers to wine, and therefore you would have an extra drasha to teach us that you can make a bracha. That's why it says Yaseh Lechad Hilul Avracha. That would be good if you would in fact have the Kabbalah of this Gzer Shava. V'ilo yolof Gzer Shava. But if you don't have this Gzer Shava, bracha manole. How would you know this bracha? You cannot derive it from this Pasuk Kodesh Elul Hashem, as we said last time, because it's already used for other drashos. So v'inami yolof Gzer Shava. The truth is, even if you're learning Gzer Shava, Ashkechan l'acharov. If there's only one open slot, maybe that open slot is only telling you have to make a bracha after you eat. L'fana manayim. How do you know that you have to make a bracha before? So you can say, well, one second, l'acharav, you already have a pasuk. It says v'chalta v'savata, right? No, v'chalta v'savata is referring to the bread.
Right.
But how do you know that there's an inyan of making a bracha achrona when it comes to other foods, other than that? So perhaps the Kodesh Elul Hashem is only teaching us a bracha afterwards, not teaching us the bracha before. And therefore, if there's only one open slot, you really would need the drasha of Kodesh Elul Hashem to teach us both. And therefore you would need two open slots. So even if you would be able to say that one of these drashos can be derived from Gzeirah Shavah, but regardless it doesn't matter because you would only learn L'Acharav, L'Fana Manayin. How do you know that you have to make a bracha before? So Gemara says, Holokasha, that wouldn't be a problem. De'asi b'kav chaymer. All we really want to do is try to establish that you make a bracha before. So even if you could say that one open slot doesn't teach you the bracha before, it teaches the bracha after you eat, you can then derive a kav chaymer. The kashu sava mevarech, kashu rav, or koshikain. That when you're satiated, when you're full, there's a requirement to make a bracha. So when you're hungry and you feel that pain, that lack, that loss, that which you're missing, then certainly you should make a bracha.
Where do they get that? I mean, that's not such a great thing. Like, if I'm hungry, I've got to make a bracha. I'm thanking her, she gave me a meal. Okay, but thank you. If I'm hungry, I would thank you. No way.
You weren't hungry, you wouldn't eat it.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? That really is not such a
sweet thing.
Why do you have a bracha when you use it?
Right.
You don't, let's say you never drink wine. So if you never drink wine, you never make a bracha. It shows that it's something that you want because you want it. That's why you have to make a bracha.
Right. It's a good question. And we'll see in a second, Tosfos, I think that's asking it also in a different way, that it doesn't seem to be a good Kal v'chomer. If I could compare it, Lavdol, to other religions, it's interestingly enough, we don't hold like this, obviously. We hold the opposite, but at least some thought process behind it. A lot of other religions, they say grace,
right. But
afterwards, nothing.
They'll say anything.
They say nothing. So it's interesting. Of course, we're the opposite. We have a chiv of benching after. My point is, there's an inyan of making a bracha when you're hungry. So you could maybe, a kav chomer could be, I'm not saying that it's true. I know, I'm not saying that it's correct. But I'm saying, but there at least maybe on some level, someone would maybe want to derive that there's some logic in that kav chomer. Because it says, kishu savim avarech, when you're hungry, make the bracha. Kishu ravel koshikin, when you're starving, you should certainly make the bracha. I'm saying that we see people do that, but it still doesn't make sense because we know that's not true. But you look in Tosos over here, Lafanov Lo Koshikin. I believe this is what Tosos is asking, right? Lafanov Lo Koshikin. You should be able to learn from a Kabbal Chaimer. He says, Lav Kabbal Chaimer, who? The truth is, you shouldn't be able to derive from a Kabbal Chaimer. Why? De'im kin tehi bracha d'lafanav midaraisa. Maybe this is not the question that we're asking, but this, at least this is what. Let's see, we'll finish this post. Right. If it's a kavachol, if you learn a kavachomer, and the kavachomer's source is a Torah-based source, which it is, right? Because we're saying kodesh, not because of echalta v'zolta, because of kodesh elul mashem. If kodesh elul mashem, which is a Torah pasuk, is telling us you have an obligation to make a bracha afterwards on wine, which is also we don't pasuk that little halacha, that al hamichya al gefen is not the araisa. Okay, but if in fact that is the araisa. And that we're learning out of Kavachomer teaches us that all the laws that apply to that, Kavachomer should apply to this. So therefore, that would mean that the bracha that we say before we drink wine, before we have a cup of coffee or whatever it may be, is a din d'oraisa also. That's what, which, of course, we certainly don't say that that's the case. But if, in fact, this would be a valid Kavachomer, then we would establish it as a d'oraisa. And Tosas asks a completely separate question, but just we'll see it anyway. Well, El Perik Mishmeso, it says in the third Perik, Mash Magabi Balkari, that when it came to a person who was Tameh, for seeing various immersion missions, whatever, and became Tameh, the Lav Diraisahu. Over there, the Mishnah is Beferish, that the brachas we say before we eat is not Diraisa, is not from the Torah. V'yafil Rabbi Huda Lopolig El Mishum Austin Kihilchas Derech Eretz. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, but it's not because the rest of the Rabbanim. The Mishnah over there on Chav Aleph Amud Aleph said that the only time a Balkari could have a hirhur, even to think, it's a discussion about saying or even thinking brachos, is only if it's deraisa. Like he's allowed to think the benching, right? We got into the whole thing of hir kedibor, is thinking like speaking, that's what the whole Gemara goes over there. But when it came to benching, that's because it was deraisa, but it says, but when it comes to lafana of a bracha before, not. That the laws don't apply. So the Mishnah already clearly makes the distinction between the blessing after you eat and before you eat. So therefore, clearly the blessing before you eat is nirabana. So Tosus is bothered with the fact that we would even contemplate or entertain it being a kal v'chomer, because that would establish as deraisa. We already know that it's not. Basically what Tosus is just throwing out at us. Right. Yeah. I mean, but that's what we're trying to do.
Also,
I mean, if
grapes, you do sing a song. You know, you sing Vayarev, okay, you make a whole song about it, you know, Friday night, this.
Right.
There you can say, okay, that's a Doraisa, but
right.
With everything else.
What about the rest of the week?
What do you mean the rest of the week? What? Drink
wine without saying
it. Yeah, but at least you have a more colorful Friday night. You have something here, you have nothing else is Doraisa except, yeah. And it's on bread. The Chalpah, Sabbath, and dealing with bread, not dealing with anything
right.
else.
Right.
So how do you even know, technically, that
you got to
make a bracha achrona?
Well,
we know it's not a
doraisa. Yeah, that's what we're doing now. We're trying to establish any requirement of a bracha.
So you can't make a kavachomer from a doraisa to a deraisa.
Well, that's the problem, what Tosfos is saying, is that if the source is deraisa, but if it's a kavachomer, kavachomer in itself, the definition of what a kavachomer does is it creates that other thing to also be deraisa. Because if the primary source is derived from a pasuk, and it's deraisa, so therefore a kavachomer teaches this new thing is also deraisa. But it's not. But that's a sidebar. Let's try to get focused back on the Gemara. The last word on the line is ashkacha. So, assuming the Gemara says that, even if you want to tell me that you could derive it from a kal v'chomer, that there is a requirement when it comes to, at least when it comes to kerem, that there is a requirement to make a bracha before. So he says, ashkacha and kerem. We find, based on this, wine. Shar minin menayim. How do we know, necessarily,
for other
things? Do you all have mekarim? So you say, well, maybe the fact is that even once we can establish that there's a requirement to break a bracha on anything, so then it's food, so you make a bracha on all things. Makarim davar shenehana v'ta'un bracha, just like when it comes to karim, which is something in which you derive benefit from, and it requires a bracha, and we did establish that Kodesh Halul Mashem is referring to wine. So we know that by karim, because that's the thing that the Levim made shira on, So therefore, since you derive benefit from it, it requires a bracha that we did establish from the pasuk of Kodesh Ulam Hashem. So have kol davar she'ein netun bracha. So to anything that you derive benefit from, you should require a bracha. So learn from wine that the requirement is that you should make a bracha on all other things. So therefore, with this, so Kodesh Ulam Hashem teaches us on one hand that it perhaps is referring to the pasuk is referring to wine, possibly because it says it's referring to only that which requires shira, which is wine, as we said. And the other open slot, potential open slot, could maybe be even teaching you the bracha afterwards. And the bracha before can be derived from Kal V'Chomer. And the bracha teaches us, this drasha teaches us there's a requirement to make a bracha on wine. And once you have to make a bracha on wine, so on everything else. So Yikul Mirfach, the Mor says, no, you can't make that quantum leap. Just because you're required to make a bracha on wine does not necessarily mean you make a bracha on everything else. How do we stand up? Because Ma'al Kerem, when it comes to the grapevine, Shekin Chai B'Oilos, there are different laws also that apply to wine that don't apply to anything else, such as Oilos. We know that when it comes to a person who's harvesting up their grapes, there's different things, such as if there's clusters, or they fall on the ground, or if they're premature. So these things are not allowed to be plucked. You cannot take them, they must be left for the poor. The concept of Perek and Olos. So these laws apply specifically to grapes. So maybe the only time you need to make a bracha is when it comes to grapes, because there's other requirements, there's more strict requirements by grapes, such as making sure that, you know, not to take them when they're not ripe. So therefore, you cannot learn a Kal V'Chomer. The only time you can learn a Kal V'Chomer is if the thing that you're learning from is comparable to the thing you're learning too. But in this situation, the grapes have more laws. So since they have more laws, so maybe the requirement of making a bracha only applies to it. So where it says, no, kama toichiach. When it comes to standing grain, will disprove you. Why? Because when it comes to kama, when it comes to the standing grain, we know that there's also a requirement to make a bracha. If you look in Rashi, which is a little bit above it, it says, "Kama toichiach," that standing grains will disprove it. Diashchan det sricha rachmana bracha. He, for some reason, assumes that there's also a requirement to say a bracha on standing grain. Dechsiv toichel bo lachem. The samach le'vichot v'savata. So it talks about benching, and it says standing grain. So we already know that when it comes to standing grain, there's a requirement to make a bracha, even though. Maybe he's referring to a bracha afterwards, but there's a concept of saying a bracha on standing grain, even though there are no laws of ololos, because ololos only apply to grapes. So therefore, since we find that when it comes to standing grain, even though there are no laws of ololos, you still need to make a bracha, perhaps it's still a good Kal V'Chomer that you can learn from Karen the all other things that you still need to make a bracha. It says, no, malot kama, when it comes to the standing grain, shekin chayavos b'chala. Again, when it comes to the standing grain, perhaps the reason why you make a bracha there is also because there's the stringency of also having to take off challah when you make bread. So therefore, maybe that's the reason why a bracha is needed to be made. Kerem yochiach. No, the wine or the grapes will disprove you, because when it comes to kerem, there's no requirement to take off challah, obviously, and yet there's still a requirement to make a bracha. So we see that the reason why you have to make a bracha is not because that there's a law of challah. So therefore, perhaps we should say v'chazar adin. We should go back to the Kal V'Chomer. Lo rizeh k'rizeh lo k'rizeh k'rizeh. That this similarity is not like this one. In other words, the wine is not like the standing grain. The grain is not like the standing wine. That they both have different things that distinguish them, but yet they have something in common. Now what is that? Hasana shavah shemhen. The common denominator between the wine and the standing grain is davar shenehena. You derive benefit from both of them. So in bracha. And you need to make a bracha on both the standing grain. At least we established the bracha afterwards. At least when it comes to wine, we have established in Kodesh Olam Hashem, you have to make a bracha before. So I've called davar shehena to a bracha. So that's the concept of a sada shava, which is not the most simple concept. But a sada shava teaches us that the Kal V'Chomer should still stand. That if you have a pircha, a problem with the Kal V'Chomer, but you can prove that the problem is not universal, in other words, that the fact that the law applies to one, doesn't apply to the other, is not because of the thing which is unique about it, but rather if they have common denominators, as do the kerem and the standing grain, they both, you derive hanah from them, they both, we establish, require some type of bracha, So too, when it comes to anything else, requires a bracha that you derive benefit from. That's what's called a sada shava. So the fact that kerem, again, the fact that wine has a unique characteristic of olos doesn't matter. Because when it comes to the standing grain, you still have to make a bracha, even though it doesn't have that characteristic. And the fact that by the kama, the standing grain, it has the characteristic of taking a challah doesn't matter. Because the grapes don't have that characteristic and still need to make a bracha. So therefore we see those two things of olos or challah are not the reasons why you need to make a bracha. Must be the reason why you need to make a bracha is because of their sada shava that you derive benefit from this by eating them, and therefore you should need a bracha before you eat them, so too by all things. So through the means of a sada shava, we establish that the Kal V'Chomer should still stand. Mal sada shava shebehen, so we say no. When it comes to the sada shava, yesh bo tzad mizbeach. Still, there's something unique about these two things as opposed to everything else. That when it comes to wine as well as grain, they both have a sad mizbeach. They also have a connection to the mizbeach. And what is that? So we know when it comes to wine, there's, as Rashi says, yain l'nesachim, right, wine libations. And as we mentioned, and as we'll be mentioning for the next few months, menachos, flower offerings, right, which is from standing grain. So all these things are connected to the mizbeach. So maybe the requirement of making a bracha is specifically with things which have what's called a sad mizbeach, wine and grain. But therefore you cannot derive from anything else. And we know wine and grain do require bracha, but maybe the reason why they require a bracha is because there's a higher connection to God, because it's connected to the mizbeach. So v'asi nami zayis. If once you say that, you can also drag in olives. At least, if we want to be forced to say that, at least now we can require another bracha on olives. The east be sad mizbeach, because we know that olives also have a sad mizbeach. That olives was
olive oil on the
mizbeach. Yeah. Okay. Right. So v'zayis v'sad mizbeach, v'zayis sad mizbeach. Is that how we derive it? We already know explicitly the pasuk says by regarding kerem dechsiv. We already know from Kerem, from the vineyard, that it already compares the Kerem to the Zayas. The Pasuk says it will be destroyed in the silo until you're standing grain, until the Kerem Zayas. So we see that the words coupled together clearly already teach us that the word Zayas is comparable to the Kerem. So you don't even need to tell me that it's from Sad Mizbeach. So Amar Papa, Kerem Zayas Ikri, Kerem Stamol Ikri. This pasuk just says Kerem Zayas. It doesn't just say the word Kerem by itself. And therefore, perhaps it's not the same thing. And therefore, the only way we know olives is through this Sad Shava from as we just established, this Kal V'Chomer. Mikol Makom Kasha. Nonetheless, the Gemara goes back, first medium wise, this is a kasha. Mal sada shava shebehen. When it comes to these two things, wine and standing grain, shekein yesh behen sad mizbeach, they both have in it an element of the mizbeach. Maybe that's why you need to make a bracha on wine, on grain. But who says on anything else? So therefore, it's not a good Kal V'Chomer. Because we schlugged up the Kal V'Chomer, or the sada shava, because maybe the only reason why you make a bracha on those two things, which we could establish through those psukim, as we said, because there's something unique about them, the sad mizbeach. But everything else, when a person has a candy bar, you don't put a candy bar in the mizbeach. So how do you know you make a bracha on that? Ella, so therefore that whole Kal V'Chomer is thrown out. We have to come up with a different pshat. To yolef la meshiva saminim. We're learning now from the seven species which Eretz Yisrael is blessed, namely wheat, barley, olives, dates, figs, grapes, pomegranates. Mashivas haminim davar shenehena. We know that when it comes to these seven species, something which a person has benefit from, tun bracha. And we're assuming right off the top that we are required to make a bracha on these seven things. We'll have to see in Rashi how it's derived. Avkol davar shenehena tun bracha. So too, when it comes to anything you have to derive that derive benefit from, you need a bracha. Look in Rashi. Zayin minin ha'amurim be'aretz chita u'sa'ira. If you remember the very end of the end of the first Aliyah, which ends off yachalta v'savata v'irachta, the Aliyah which concludes the first Aliyah of benching. Right before that, it talks about how Eretz Yisrael is blessed with chita, sa'ira, gefen, etc., with the wheat, barley, and all the other five species that Eretz Yisrael is blessed. So the fact that it's coupled right next to the requirement of making a bracha, of yachalta d'sva, to eat, satiate, and make a bracha, must tell you that the zayin minim also have to make a bracha. That's the drasha also. So we learn out from the smichas aparshios, or from the juxtaposition of these psukim, that there's a requirement to make a bracha on the zayin minim. So we say that just like the seven minim, the seven species, a requirement to make a bracha because you derive benefit from them. So what's derived from those seven, there's also a requirement to make a bracha on all foods. So the Gemara says, no, you can't learn that out from the zayin minim either. Continues the Gemara, third line, third wide, medium-sized line. Malo shivas haminim shechen chayevan bibikurim. Perhaps the reason why you need to make a bracha by these seven is because they have a special law, bikurim. We know that the first fruits are brought to Eretz Israel in a basket, the whole tremendous amount of fanfare that is connected to it. But maybe that only applies to the zayin minim. The whole thing, when you see your fruit growing, you tie a ribbon around it to recognize which one is the thing. That's only referring to the zayin minim. It doesn't refer to an apple tree. That you don't bring to the Beis HaMikdash. Only the zayin minim. So maybe only by the shiva minim is it required to make a bracha because it has other laws such as bikurim. But furthermore, hatin l'chacharuf. All of this would only teach you that there'd be a requirement to make a bracha afterwards. Because as we said, how we derive the zayin minim's requirement making a bracha is the juxtaposition to the pasuk v'yachalta v'savata v'yarachta. That pasuk is talking about a bracha after, right, not a bracha before. So that's only good l'acharav. L'fana menayin. How do we know before? So holokasha. So again, we say that's not a problem. Das v'kavachomer. That second question, we could say that it's true that maybe you can only are required to make a bracha from the Torah afterwards. But kashu sadam mevarach, if you have to make a bracha while you're hungry, so kashu ravel koshikin. So when you're hungry, certainly you should make a bracha. So that again doesn't answer the first question, and therefore you still can't learn out from the shivas haminim, because maybe the shivas haminim is why you make a bracha is because they're obligated in bikurim. When it comes to other food that's not required in bikurim, maybe you don't need to make a bracha. Well, man detani neta ravai, and the one who said neta ravai, hatin of kol davar netia. That's only things, even if you want to say that it's referring to neta ravai, which is all things that grow. That's only things that grow. The labar netia. How about things that don't grow? Could go in buster, baits, and dug in manole. How do you know when it comes to making a bracha on meat, on eggs, on fish? So how do you know you need to make a bracha on this? And therefore the Gemara concludes, el svarahu. Svara means it's no longer a drasha from a pasuk, it's not deraisa. And we tried, of course, the first thing we always do is we try to establish ourselves from the most rooted source, from the Torah, from a pasuk. And if we're unable to find any source anywhere in the Torah, then we're compelled to be able to derive it from something else. And therefore that's what happens. That's the reason why the Gemara went through all this to try to get to the answer. But the maskanas of Gemara is the last line. Svarhu asul adam shehenem min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. It's just a logical conclusion that a person would not be able to derive anything from this world without saying a bracha. It's logical. After all, everything belongs to Hashem, as we're going to see in next piece of Gemara next time. So the fact that everything belongs to Hashem, Hashem aretz meloa, and for us to take something is a form of gzela, stealing. Therefore, it's a logical thing that when it comes to all things necessary to make a bracha. However, we conclude from this piece, which we'll stop with, that certainly it teaches us that it is not deraisa, but rather when it comes to making a bracha before, it's merely midrabanan. Stop there.